Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask you a trick question. What are the things in your life that you're willing to go to the mat for? Now, by that I mean you're actually willing to forsake relationships. You are willing to take a stand, even if it means that friendships are lost or family ties are broken. What are the things that you would say, I can draw a line in the sand, I can go no further than this? That was the challenge in the church at Herrnhut. Now, for those of you who are not Moravians, August 13th is a very special day in the Moravian Church. It is the day that we call a second Pentecost. It's a day that the Holy Spirit fell on the church, August 13th, 1727. Now, to understand how significant this is, you have to know some of the history. The Moravians were a persecuted group, and they found refuge. They were refugees on the estate of a very kind German nobleman named Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf. And he had invited these refugees to come to Germany so that they might have religious freedom, so that they could worship in peace. These were people who had gone to the mat, and some of their family members had died. They were persecuted. And so they came to this place in Germany so that they could have some freedom of movement and they could worship the Lord the way they saw fit. Now, you know, when people of strong faith come together, can you believe that there might be conflict? These people who had gone to the mat found that even in this place, in Herrnhut, Germany, this community that they had formed, that they started to go to the mat. And it was on doctrinal issues, things that we don't really talk about or think about today, but they were fighting about predestination. They were fighting about what holiness really means. They were fighting about baptism. Now, it wasn't just disagreements where they sat down and said, well, I believe this way, and the other said, well, I have a little different view. It was knocked down, drag out. Now, this young count, he was only 27 years old. He was wealthy in his own right. He really didn't need this aggravation. And he could have quite easily said, you know, y'all get off my land now. The experiment has failed, go. But he didn't do that. He asked for the community to come together in prayer. He asked for them to sign an agreement where they would live together in peace. And the people were so tired of fighting that they went along with this. And then on August 13th, there was a special church service. And during the church service, all that they agreed to came to life with the power of the Holy Spirit. All the things that they could not do in and of themselves, love each other, be compassionate with each other. They said that in that experience, as they were praying, God's Spirit removed all the divisions from them, and they became one people. Now, that would be wonderful enough, but it's what happened afterwards that makes us know that it was God's Spirit. The next 100 years, there was a Moravian praying around this globe 24 hours a day. It was called the Hourly Intercession. There were 300 people in that original group, and they started going out in the mission fields. And this was at a time when mission work was really unheard of, so much so that the Moravians influenced the Baptists. And William Carey said, if that small group of Moravians can do it, why aren't we doing it too? The Moravians gave birth to the Methodist Church by influencing John and Charles Wesley. The Moravians did some magnificent things. They were even noted for the commerce because people worked together. They realized that even though they had strongly held opinions, that the only thing worth going to the mat for was Christ's love and compassion. Can we say the same today? What do we go to the mat for? John said in his letter, "Beloved, we ought to love each other." He didn't say it'd be a good idea. He didn't say it was one of the things that Jesus talked about, so we ought to be doing it. He said, we must do this. And if we can't do it in our churches, in our families, in our nation, in our world, well, you see what the result is. We see it every day. What do you go to the mat for? And my proposal is, the only thing we should go to the mat for is if someone demands that we renounce Jesus. Everything else, we don't need to go to the mat for. I'll give you an example. We're getting into the political season. I always mute the commercials. I can't stand them. But when in the 90s, there was a president whom my sister and I kind of liked and we voted for, and my father despised. I'm not talking about just didn't like or didn't agree. I mean visceral hatred. And so anytime this man's name came up and his wife, he'd spit the names out. So my sister and I learned not to bring up any political thing in our household. When my parents were visiting, we tried to stay away from that. Well, then the man had the temerity to be reelected. And the household got very tense. Because Dad would find a way, even if we were talking about recipes, to bring in this hated name. And my sister and I would just cringe because there was no way we could redirect him. Now, we had a choice to make. We loved our father, even though we thought he was politically crazy. We loved him. And we weren't going to argue with him. And we knew we couldn't redirect him. So we started to buy him gag gifts. Like there was a gift of calendar that counted down the days the man had left in office. And we gave that to him as a gift. There was a wristwatch that had the president's face on it with the hands going backwards. He loved that. I should have kept it to be a collector's item now. Now, we did not change our political views to suit my father's, but what we did was try to find a way to live with him when he visited, so that all this visceral, all the spewing, we just made it humorous for him. It didn't change our views. Some things are just not worth going to the mat for. I hope in this congregation there's Tea Partiers and socialists. I hope that, because it's not worth going to the mat. We are one in Christ. But then on a more serious issue, we have those mourners in Milwaukee, and I was watching on the news the high school auditorium filling. Now, you could tell who were Sikh and who weren't. The Sikh had these beautiful turbans. Others had put on kerchiefs on their heads. Now, I knew that they were not Sikhs. They were probably Christian, maybe some Jews, but these were people that didn't know the religion at all. They put a covering on their head out of respect. Did that mean they converted to the Sikh religion? No. But it meant that they showed their love and concern and compassion. What do we go to the mat on? In this is love, that God first loved us and gave his son for us. Can we do any different? The Holy Spirit came that day, and what is remarkable to me is it didn't change anybody's opinion. I'm sure that the people who felt baptism was one way still felt it after that church service, but they realized that the most important thing was demonstrating the love of God. And because they were set free from all that triviality, God gave them a mission, and we are heirs of that mission. And this is love. What do you go to the mat for? I hope after this service it will be very little. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. It comes in quietness to still our hearts, and I thank you when the Holy Spirit comes boldly to straighten us out. And I ask that you would help us, the heirs of your grace, to demonstrate that grace